Blog Talk Radio.
This is a team of voices with Liquid Damage and my friend AP, who happens to be a sponsor of the show. So welcome, AP. Our group is filled with love and respect, and we're all so happy to see you here. Hi, AP. We're poets from all over the globe and listeners from over, now I hear, 77 countries, not 60 like last month, but 77 countries. That is so awesome. The hosting team offer a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something different for you every night of the week. You never know what we might have up our sleeves, like jokes, poetry games, talk shows, slams, and magic tricks, contests, special events, and you are invited to join us for all the fun. Just click on and listen to the live show or to hear any pre-recorded episode. And you can also call up to participate at 646-668-2837. You can find our host and hostess writing over at allpoetry.com or hanging out in the 18 video chat group chat room. Our hosts and hostesses push love and respect. Stop in and check it out. We have a lot of fun. The poetry is awesome, and you need to try it out. So anyway, hi, AP.
Hey, how you going, Liquid Damage?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it's been a good week, and I got some jokes for us. And let me tell a joke.
Go for it.
You know, I was addicted to the hokey pokey. Then I turned myself around.
Ah, see. I could see where that was going. I've got one too. I've got.
Okay, you got a joke?
Reptilian.
Right on.
Yeah, I've got a joke for you. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
What do you call a crocodile in a vest? What do you call a crocodile in a vest?
Ah, an investigator.
You've got it in one. Well done. Yep, tick.
Okay, here's one. The doctor gave me 1 year to live, so I shot him with my gun. The judge gave me 15 years. Problem solved.
Yes, clearly. I like that a lot. That'll do.
For sale.
Okay, one more.
Parachute.
Okay.
Used once, never opened. Small stain.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
Go for it, AP.
No, well, I've got a Christmas joke. Got a Christmas joke. You ready? No,
okay, I'm ready.
Here we go. Who gives crocodiles presents on Christmas?
I don't know.
Santa Jaws.
Very good. Very good. Right on.
I didn't mind.
I lost my job at the bank the very first day. A woman asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over.
Ah. Yeah, I like that. I don't know about you. That bank branch is closed here, so you know, there won't be too many places to do that. But anyway, what do you get a girl that likes crocodiles?
I don't know. What do you get a girl who likes crocodiles?
All I got her is
shoes. What was that?
Liquid Damage. All I got her is shoes.
What was that?
All I got her is shoes. I imagine the point being that they won't see a girl anymore. And that's the shoes. Anyway. That's crocodiles for you. Anyway, I'll hit the reptilian jokes and stuff.
Here's one more. What do you get when you mix literature and alcohol?
Ooh. Literature and alcohol. I don't know. Now, what do you get?
Tequila Mockingbird.
Ah, that's very nice. I like that a lot.
Isn't that a good one?
It's historical sort of noveling there. I actually did Tequila Mockingbird at school years ago. We studied it. So that goes to show how long it's been. Yeah, it's good. Great book. Cool. Even a wonderful film. Wonderful film, too. It was done in the black and white film. Beautiful.
Right on. Well, I guess we should get started since we got so many poems. And I thought we'd start with Dave Muddy, which if you would like to read Dave Muddy, we can get the show on the road.
Yeah.
His piece is called Not Enough Blues Renewed.
Oh, well, there you go. Thank you, Doug. Well, and we've got a few people who have tried to join us with the Damage, but are having some trouble. So hello to Wayne.
Oh,
Jen.
I didn't. Let me see. I got a message here.
And Pee-wee and, you know, a couple of sets. Dave Muddy is a fellow Australian, I believe. So this is Not Enough Blues Renewed. And it's a little bit of rhyming poetry, and it goes a little bit like this. Blue flowers blue, making her blue, nothing seems true, missing her cue, singing the blues with all the crew, drowning the views, not paying dues. Misty blue hues, painter pursues, lost in the cues, having no clues. Colours of flu in what she drew, if only she knew, blues are too few. Dark removes blue, fear she does rue, losses accrue, debt is still due. God's love is true, grace restores blue, blood's scarlet hue, her life renew. In pop.
Wow, that was just a really cool poem. It's very melodic piece, like a beautiful song needing to be sung. I love the rhyme scheme. It's very soft, and the repetition is actually a very cool and rhythmic addition to the piece. The part I liked best was the second verse. Singing the blues with all the crew, drowning the views, not paying dues. It just... It reminds me of the old times playing music with my friends. Good memories are restored thanks to this poem. It's very soft, and I'm not sure what the right word is. Just it brings out good memories, and I want to thank Dave for this beautifully written piece of art. Great job, Dave. You killed it again. AP, what did you think? You read it, and you did a lovely job reading it, by the way.
Thank you. It's easy. Look, it was an easy poem to read, and the reason for that is, you know, with the monorhyme, it can get repetitive, and sometimes it can get jarring, for want of a better word. But this had lovely... what's called assonance. It rhymed and it flowed, and it did it in a way that didn't create any jars or knock-on effects. And I think that's why it sort of led you to places, because it wasn't jarring. It was melodic, for want of a better word. And I think when you have a piece like that, that's when you trail and traipse to somewhere else. And if we can do that in the poem, it's really done its work.
Yeah, absolutely. Good comment. I wish we had... Let me see if there's... Wayne T.W. Francis says, love the rhythm and word selection, fit together in my head way too well as I read it. I can't. Gayathri Krishnamurthy says, the dawn's dew is silver hue. I look intent, it changed the honeydew, inspired. Yes, this was an inspiring poem. I really liked it.
Agreed.
So,
yeah.
And I put Agreed. Heavenly Angels up on the board, so we can read
yes.
hers. I'll read hers next.
Okay, cool.
Let me get over there. This is called Drunk on Love by Heavenly Angel. Beyond the ends of the earth, aura of your love color my world. Rainbows pale in comparison to the beauty, teal, turquoise, rose, breathtaking shades. Endlessly light the pathway of my life. Nirvana found within your embrace, hearing the music of our souls. Embracing forever together, roping the moon, the stars, sated, wrapped in a cocoon of bliss. This was absolutely precious. I just loved it, Heavenly Angel. You did a really great job. Really beautiful, and I'm so inspired by your lovely word choices. Your poetic language is above and beyond gorgeous. This is a song waiting for an orchestra. The imagery as well is striking. I think my favorite part is Nirvana found within your embrace, dancing to the music of our souls. These words are amazing and fulfill a lovely piece in the poem. I really want to thank you, Angel, for this awesome piece of love. Great job. What did you think, AP?
Well, I was just going to say, I think we've got somebody waiting to come in the door, Linda, and I've got a friend. It might be, it's appealing. It might be friend Hatter. So,
let me
it's
Hatter. Hi, Hatter.
Hey. Hi. Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay, good. You sound a little tired.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you're here.
You too.
Did you get to hear the poem?
No, I didn't, Jan.
Do yourself a favor and read Heavenly Angels' piece. It's a short brevity. But, do yourself a favor and read it. It's really great. So, AP, what did you think?
Yes. Well, I think it was really nicely put together. Of course, you can see from the first letter there, Linda, that this is an acrostic as well. So it's spelling out with the first letter of each line a word, in this case, bartenders. And so if you read down and it's in bold, which is nice and helpful. And so it's got the two things going for it. It's got the word that is made from the first letter of each line, and then it's got the lovely descriptions in the brevity of love and of what that means. And that's always where Heavenly Angel is just excellent.
You know, I did not pick that out, but Kay says a brevity with great feeling and emphasis on the heart of what is felt. Mm. In acrostic form, you added the beauty of your craft to let these words sing. Very nice comment, Kay. And Moroccan poet
and
says your passion and romantic. Go ahead.
I have good news, Linda. We have another caller who's just come on board.
Oh,
and
let me see.
It might be Sweet Pea, but I could be.
Hello,
It's my Sweet. Hi, Sweet.
How are you? Hello,
I'm so glad you made it. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Great. Right on. I'm happy you're here.
I'm happy I'm here too.
Did you get to hear Heavenly Angel's poem?
Unfortunately, no, I did not. I will give it a read and give her a comment.
Okay, yeah, it's really pretty.
And are you on a time crunch, Sweet? Because I think you might still be on holidays. Is that right?
A little bit. I'm actually losing my voice because I had such a good time while I was out and about.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, look, we'd be super happy. I know that Angel would be if you put a poem up directly up on the board. Sweet?
I can do that. That's not too difficult.
She always, you always sneak up on me.
I know that. I like to be sneaky like that.
I like to get snuck up on, though.
Yeah?
This is good news.
It makes it fun.
Well,
absolutely.
I'm glad.
Never quite sure.
I had a great time where I was at. It was absolutely beautiful.
Right on.
Yeah. So I'm showing up
so
on that board right now.
Piece?
I did.
Oh, right
it's coming right now. It's up there.
We can see it, Sweet.
Good.
Let me Sweet. I see
yes.
it.
Good. This is called 18 Summers. I lived
Anytime
in the house.
Anytime you're ready.
Okay. I lived in the house on the corner of Perfection and Laissez-Faire. The grass was lush and green, and on the porch lived teal patio chairs. The flower gardens bloomed, and the wind chimes whispered in melodic tunes. A whitewashed picket fence frames a Rockwell Dream defense, where puppies played and porchling sway. Daddy returned from work, Mommy smiled, and dinner was on its way. I lived by sundown rules, walked to school, ate warm potato salad and cold chicken at church picnics, attended vacation Bible school, and went to camp. It all went by so fast. Said goodbye to Mom and Dad. After all, we only had 18 summers before I realized the house on the corner of Perfection and Laissez-Faire was painted in fairy tale colors. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. That is so pretty. That just took me back, you know. And when you think about it, your line about, after all, they only had 18 summers. That's true. We only do have 18 summers at home. And those memories that we make during those 18 years got to be special ones, you know, that we think back on. And just amazing poem, sweet. The imagery in this just overwhelmed my soul. I'm just thinking back of, you know, my 18 years at home, not all good ones, but at least all important ones. And that was the deal. And I loved the end. I realized the house on the corner of Perfection and Laissez-Faire was painted in fairy tale colors. That is such a beautiful line. I thank you for this beautiful piece, sweetheart. And AP, what did you think?
Well, firstly, I want to highlight the new picture that's on your writing suite, which looks very much to me as if you're smiling with a brand new Grand Canyon top, which is kind of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah? So bring
yeah.
that to one side, which is great. Yeah? So, you know, obviously you've enjoyed yours greatly, which is lovely. I'm with you. You know, that line that you hit the corner of Perfection Affair is really fun, and that you did it for only a short period of time is fantastic. And there was a sadness there, of course, with the saying of goodbye, but it's interesting. I've learned, you know, over the years that, you know, when forgive and when make sense of our fathers and our mothers, and too many people do that, and they get struck by it, whereas we can live by that, we can move on by that, and we can praise and welcome what our parents did for us, and that for me was the overwhelming emotion of the poem.
Right on. Excellent.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, that was really brilliant. Thank you, Sweet Pea, for bringing that. Some poems just really hit hard and inspire, you know, to the point of just absolute beauty. And you bring it every time you come. I mean, there's no discussion about that. But some of your stuff is just so hard-hitting home that it kind of brings a tear to my eye. But you did it very well.
Linda, did we want to get Pat a...
Yeah.
Did we want to get Pat a say of humor?
Do what?
Do you want to get Hatter to comment as well?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Hatter, what did you think, darling?
Why is this, Sweet Pea, why is this so familiar? I mean, you posted it 7 hours ago.
You and I talked about 18 summers before.
Okay. That's what it is. It's the 18 summers you have with your children, how fast they go.
Right.
Yeah, I love the way AP said, the opening lines. I lived on the corner of perfection. And what? How do you pronounce the other? And Laissez-faire.
Yeah.
It mentions everything about, as you're growing up, people tell you, yeah, you're going to grow old. You know, enjoy being young. You're going to grow old. They never tell you the changes that growing old is going to entail. That's losing your folks, maybe siblings, friends, and things get more expensive, more complicated. Everything's more complicated. So it's a hard cloud to find the silver lining, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But, well done.
Thank you, Adder.
Cool.
Welcome.
Cool. Well, next I thought we'd bring up Titus, which I put on the board already.
Yes.
He's got a pretty one, too. Does everybody see it?
Yes.
I will start I'm starting the SoundCloud.
Confined the poet's race. A hard chair you would have thought, cushion-bound poets, the comfort of making them heir to a throne, did not require a school-like first day, lesser concerns finding their regrets, a soft-scented man who speaks last can gracefully sit higher, a position of power to absorb all they have dealt in, at least I am best prepared as amber is, to suggest rekindling in eager anticipation, to find their interruptions use an unhurried yeast. Perhaps their self-importance serves a portion each as meager. I would sip a moment's silence. Some passive words are heard, giving them an olive branch, I do receive the laurel in return. A pleasant repertoire, a classical shape and form finds absurd. Random words make a poet blush, so refined do ears adjourn. Given reason, my consternations wallow, the pity it engraves. A lasting travesty over wasting words, the penetrative means finds a place of peace. One sits alone, given the time it saves to think of the palm with whom to contemplate many scenes. Romance ornates extravagance, this free disposition. My faith holds an emotion of waves, thought ebbing down the tide, divides such time as fools rush in, confines a poet's wraith. Conscious thought has bloomed at best, one's peaceful side.
Well, Titus, you're amazing. Your words, the music you choose, everything screams talent. In this is an engaging piece of art. Your prompt set a wonderful scene for your words to dedicate their beauty. You have created a special theme for your dedicatee, John Keats, a wonderful poet. I think the beauty of your words create an awesome dwelling for your thoughts. I think my favorite part is verse 4. Let's see, where is it? Given reason, my constellations wallow, the pity it engraves, a lasting travesty over, wasting words, the penetrative means finds a place of peace. One sits alone, given the theme it saves, to think of the palm of whom to contemplate many scenes. It reminds me of me, as my concentration wallows quite often without reason, however, but I do resonate with this verse. Thank you, Titus, for this poetry in bloom. The imagery in this was outstanding, and I think you just did a great job in honoring John Keats. Just excellent job. Sweet, what did you think?
Well, Titus always has this great way of putting words precisely where they need to be and how they need to be said. I'm really looking kind of at every last line of his stanzas, and it just kind of creates its own little poem. And you know, I love that, because a soft-centered man who speaks last can gracefully sit higher. Perhaps their self-importance serves a portion each as meager. Random words make a poet blush so refined to ears germ. To think of the palm with whom to contemplate many scenes. Conscious thought has bloomed at best one's peaceful side. And I kind of think just reading those last lines sums up his whole poem. And his brilliance holds like no others, but I really like the soft-spokenness of this. And, you know, sometimes fools rush in, and sometimes we just sit and have to absorb everything that we do. But I like the hard chair would have thought cushion-bound poets. I like that metaphor and that imagery, but I do think the last line of every stanza sums up that whole poem. And I think, I don't know if he did it on purpose or it's just a happy accident, but it's pretty cool that it went that way.
Excellent comment. AP, what did you think?
Well, there's always several stories going on with Titus's work. And I was trying to work out the connection back to Keats and the Wraith, and I think it might be to do with St. Agnes's Day, and I could be wrong, but I was trying to see where that might be. And it's a, if that is the case, it's a fascinating use of words and a fascinating use of rhyme. So I admire what Titus does, and then I also admire the fact that he always has other levels of meaning, and that's what's going on here.
Yeah, good comment, AP. Hatter.
Hatter has just dropped.
He
has been having.
I'm sorry.
With his phone all day, so he has dropped.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. I miss Hatter. Okay.
So we'll see if he has been doing that. So
let's see who else we have. We have Jenny the Deep. Sweet, would you like to read hers?
I certainly can.
Okay, let me. You want to bring that up, AP?
Yeah, I'll put it on the board. Just one tick. And Hatter says he's got to take care of something. So, it is up on the board now. Sweet.
Okay, I'm putting it there. Alrighty. I lost the group. I got to go back to it.
It's okay.
Manifesting
it's
Your
cool.
Own Luck.
That's the one.
All right. By Jenny the Deep. Not everyone can have the luck of the Irish. Make your own luck by taking a colorful risk. Follow the kaleidoscope polychrome rainbow and reach for your metaphysical pot of gold. Only you can make your dreams come true. Put one foot in front of the other until they're in view. It may take a day, a week, maybe even a year, but it'll all be worth it once you get there. Leap in fields blanketed in verdant clovers, and keep it going until the hill of doubt is over. No magic is stronger than the magic within. In yourself, bravely and boldly believe in it again. Overcoming obtrusive obstacles makes you the luckiest of them all. End poem.
Wow. Great read, sweet.
Thank you.
This was fabulous by Jenny. Her topic is on an interesting one, but we do create our own luck. And I see people all the time relying on their four-leaf clover or their rabbit's foot or something. I have a rabbit's foot, but I like her optimistic words of goodwill. They were well said and have a strong outlook. I think my favorite part is verse 2. Only you can make your dreams come true. Put one foot in front of the other until they're in view. It may take a week, a day, a week, maybe even a year. It will be all worth it once you get there. And that is so true. Luck is a word that should be something else. Because luck is not real. It's magic. And magic is a thing that we shouldn't rely on. Reaffirming we are in control, no magic here. Great work, Jenny, and thank you for sharing. We are all in control of our own destinies and our own luck, and this says it very well. It comes out and explains it to a T. Thank you, Jenny, very much. Sweet, you read it. What did you think?
I was excited that she was optimistic and, you know, giving us all of that, and the fact that she wrote it for the Irish, and, you know, I liked all of the, you know, the hints towards St. Paddy's Day and all that, and making your own luck, and the Irish definitely believe that through their four-leaf clovers and their pots of gold and all of that, so I thought it was fun and inspiring.
Right, right. Good comment, sweet. AP.
Yeah. Well, there's a great quote, and it was originally referenced Thomas Jefferson, that says, "I'm a great believer in luck. The harder I work, the more luck I have." And it sort of changed its way over the years, and it may have been Thomas Jefferson or it may have been somebody else. But at the end of the day, I really like the quote, because I think it puts luck in its right context, and that is that you work hard, and what happens is you do get luckier. And I think that's what I think about when I think of Jenny's poem.
That's so true. Thank you for saying that. Thank you. Great poem, Jenny. Thank you for sharing this with us. And let's see who's next. Oh, I think it's time for a joke.
Good thinking.
What's yellow and can't swim?
Oh, God.
A duck.
I don't know, Linda. Tell us.
A bus full of children.
There you go. I would never have gone there.
What do you call
like
a dog
banana.
With no legs? What do you call a dog with no legs?
A rug.
Shaggy.
It doesn't matter what you call him. He won't come.
Fun.
Come on, guys.
very
You're killing
true.
Me here.
That was funny.
Okay,
let's see.
Going on.
I've got one.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Why won't crocodiles attack lawyers? Why won't crocodiles attack lawyers?
I don't know.
Why lawyers?
Won't they?
Professional courtesy.
Linda, I am going to include your joke on the dog with no legs. What do you call a dog with no legs?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. He won't come.
No, roll over.
Ah! That works.
Okay. Let's see, who do we have here? We have AP, did you want to read yours?
I can read mine, of course. And I think the only thing that's changed about this one, the damage is I've changed the painting because I've been working on a new one the last few days. So let me just copy this up onto the board. And it will be there now. This is Cloud Stutters by me. And it goes a little bit like this. Cloud stutters in purple then blue, hovering ready for the rains to fall. Yellow butter sand soaked through from waves which flutter briefly tall. A storm batters rocks in a squall, their distant clouds hanging dim. Rain spatters as forces darkly pall, then chatter of chocolates by whim. Cliffs of scrub sprayed as skim energy moving leaves right back. Here unfolds lime green array dim, thunder deep brays by coast track. Till above a breeze left to tack, upon shelter a new pattern too. Waves gathered ease off the flak, storm cleaves inward, dissipating gloom. End poem.
Beautiful job, AP. I love that. I love that the colors of your picture kind of ruled the way your poem came out. The colors you have interpreted into the verse of this are magical and match perfectly with your awesome painting. The colors here are a blend of beauty. The imagery is playful and blissful. I love how you build up your storm. Then in the end, it flees inland. My favorite part is verse one. How magical you begin your story of the sea. It's like, I said, awesome reflection of the mighty sea with its rumbling and tumbling. The colors of your prompts spur your poem on in style. I really love stories of the sea, and you have given me something to daydream about. It inspired me. And I thank you for this beautiful poem, AP. And sweet, what did you think?
I love poems that have great movement, like dancing or just a lot of people will use the word flow, and that if poems have great flow, and obviously AP has always had great cadence and rhyme and everything, but this takes it above that, and it is just movement and a constant. It really is a dance of this storm, because you have things like stutters and hovering and soak and flutter and batters and spatters. And by the way, I love chatters and chocolates by whim, but cliffs spray and scrub and move and unfold and bray and, you know, you're left to tack and gather and we and dissipating. I mean, you don't stop. It just constantly moves, and it's just like the storm. But you don't stop and take a breath throughout this poem. And I absolutely love that when you become part of the movement and you don't get to take that breath because you are part of that storm. And I really, really like this one, AP. Above and beyond the painting, it just, you become the storm. You don't hear about it. You don't, indulge in the metaphor or the imagery. You are the storm. I thought it was perfect. And don't let that go to your head.
Right on.
No,
I
was just going to identify a couple of things I did that might have helped with that. The rhyme pattern goes up the line, so it goes from 2-4 to 1-3. So what that means is it gives you an internal rhyme at the end between each stanza, which I think helps with the flow. That's number one. And number two, a lot of those words you talked about come from the rhyme that's used in the first, or word that's used in the first line, then is used in the third and fourth in rhyme. So stutters becomes butter and flutter, batters becomes spatters and chatter, spray becomes array and braise, and then breeze becomes ease and fleas. And so that gives you some nice other words. And so that, I think it helps the internal flow of it as it goes.
That's awesome. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
That was beautiful. The picture is beautiful as well as the poem. I spent a few minutes gazing into it and just getting lost in the waves. You're truly becoming a fine artist.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Deborah says, serrated edge looks cool. Your beautifully rhymed poem is a great tribute to your painting credit in your art. LOL. Great share. Great comment. Let's see. Who do we got coming up next? We got Rhonda and Rabia. Why don't we do Rabia?
Yes. So, hold on.
Do you want to grab that?
Rabia's name, or if she's probably, Rabia, yeah, Rabia?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got that poem there, that's Wisteria, and her name, her writing name, I think, is SSM. I think that's the right one. You tell me when you see it, Linda, if that's the one we were talking about.
Let me see. Okay, how come my computer's not working?
Right. Might have just stuck for a tick. Linda, just refresh and see what it does.
I'm not even showing her. There it is. Rabia Batul. It's in the It's in the note down from Deb, I think.
Yeah, that's what. And did you want to read this one, Linda?
Yes, I'll read this one. And I want to let everybody know, Rabia lives in the Himalayas. A new country for our repertoire. And let me get on the page. No, Wisteria is by SSM.
Right.
That's not Rabia.
I just was looking in the lounge here.
Huh.
And Rabia is had this conversation, and then hold on, where is she? Oh, okay. So yeah, okay. So we've got a.
Oh yeah, it's right there.
Rabia.
It's called
yeah.
a time mirror.
Okay, where's that sitting? Oh, got it. Yeah, got
it. Did you get it?
Hold on, bear with me. Yeah, I think I've got it now. Bear with me. Bear with me. Let's see if this one is the one. Yeah, the time mirror. Here we go.
Great. This is called The Time Mirror by Rabia Batul. Waving through the cosmic waves, when I reach the cosmic realm, unfolded an unsolved mystery. Timelessness, infinity, and shining stars, I was to find what holds the cosmic stars. The unknown forces of God could be felt, fluorescent lights and energies ethereal, away and away from universe. The more distance I covered, light was reflecting back. It took so much time to reflect. That I was seeing the past. Every reflection had an echo, felt so hard. Waving like cosmic dust, I was taken aback. For years and years, I wanted to see the past. As I was going back and back, reached a point. The events of world and the wars, the fault of humans and the unknown stars, the unknown rains when I was crying and laughing, some moments delight, some memories lasting. I reached a point when I was a little flower, where I saw my memories so clear. I was crying, and so was my mother. I laughed a little, and so was my mother. Her eyes were shining with deep emotion. I could feel her heartbeats from far apart. In poem. This was a beautiful poem by Rabia. And wow, I mean, just so beautiful. I think she used her heart and soul in this, and it was just alluring. The imagery was magical and was... it was your storyline, and this was a metaphorical dream. Your ability to take your reader into another dimension is outstanding. This was just so lovely. I'm impressed. My favorite part was verse 5, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the end. When I saw my memory so clear, I was crying, and so was my mother. I laughed a little, and so was my mother. Her eyes were shining with deep emotions. I could feel her heartbeats from far apart. It reminded me that although she's gone, my mother is not so far away. Thank you for that realization, and thank you for this awesome piece of art. I loved reading it. I love when new artists show up and bring something that's this outstanding. So let me get some more comments. Sweet, what did you think?
I thought it was a beautiful take on memories. Just, you know, going back and looking at the world. And I like the events of the world and the wars, the faults of human and unknown stars. The unknown rains when I was crying and laughing. Some moments delightful, some memories lasting. I reached a point when I was a little flower. I thought that was very interesting metaphorically and actually, you know, imagery, where you go back all through your memories and the crying and the laughing and the pain and joy to your back to that, just that little seed, you know, poking out, that precious little flower. I really enjoyed just all of that. I reached a point when I was a little flower. And just waiting to absorb all that life had to give you. I thought that was beautifully written.
Right on. Good comment. I'm sure she would appreciate that. Great. AP, what did you think?
Just a quick one. Liquid Damage, did you did you invite Jeanette in for the show?
Hello, 111, who's calling?
Hi, Linda, how are you? This is Jay.
Miss Jay, yay, you're here.
Yay.
How are you,
Happy
Miss
International
Jay?
Women's Day.
Yes, happy International Women's Day to everybody. Thank you for reminding me.
And,
I had it written down in my notes,
Linda,
but, yeah.
It's all good. Linda, you've got another caller as well, 408 as well.
Oh, it's not coming up on my board. 408.
Oh. I'll let them in. Hold on, it's coming up on mine.
Hello? Yeah, it's not coming up. Oh, there we go, 408.
Yeah, 408.
408, who's calling?
This is Craig.
Who's
calling? How you doing? Craig.
Craig?
Yep.
Nice to meet you, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Thank you for showing up.
Oh, thank you.
That was
it's good to be here.
And we have AP and we have Sweet P, and we're getting the whole gang together. So,
absolutely.
I'm a newbie. I'm just checking in here, and
that's great.
I'm not familiar with all this really too much, but I don't write stuff down no more. It's just open the mouth and it comes out kind of stuff, you know.
Well, that's great. Yeah, this is real simple. We just read our poetry and people talk about it and comment about it, and it's all loving and nice and so
we haven't attacked anybody in months.
Thanks. Yeah.
It's almost like you're funny,
Jay.
You know what it seems like? It seems like you ever heard of Mensa kids?
Yeah.
They have a group of people, and they're really smart, and they have these little quizzes they go through and stuff, and they answer these questions and they do all these problems and stuff solving, and they're really good at it, right? So you guys are like Mensa kids. You guys are like Mensa kids here, man. You got to really pay attention to what you're saying, eh?
Oh. Well, thank you for the compliment, but I don't think
we'll
we're
take
quite
it. I'm in denial.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, Craig, it's nice to have a newbie. Welcome to the show. I'm Liquid Damage or Linda. You can call me either one. And do you have a poem?
I do have some stuff I just, you know, was thinking about, and I just would like to hear it come off of my lips so that I can appreciate it with everybody else, you know. It'd be like the first time.
Well, go for it. We'll listen.
Okay. So I was walking through the valley, the shadow, and I noticed all the potential that was within the shadow as I was engaging with my fellow man, and I was hoping that he would understand and appreciate where I'm coming from. So the light was on, and as the light was on, I was speaking. As I was speaking, some people were reflecting what I was projecting because they can see what I was saying, and they were able to turn around and take a look and see what I was talking about and where I was coming from, because after all, I was the mirror that day. And when they turned around and took a look at themselves, they were able to say, love generates love. And obviously, somebody was tension. Other people were relying on their feelings. And they do it entirely too much. I know from experience that you have to examine your feelings when they become powerful, as they do, and they will. But you have to do it in light of the truth, which is underneath your feelings, because your feelings is not who you are.
Alexa
superstar.
Kim.
What?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So anyway, superstar. And you got the power, because this is the hour. where you can acknowledge that you made a mistake. We all make mistakes. It's inevitable when you're walking in love. Nobody runs a flawless routine, you know what I mean? So as you come to the point where you examine yourself in light of the truth, because you can't rely on your feelings, because your feelings don't always accurately reflect what's going on underneath your feelings, so you have to examine those feelings in light of the truth. The truth is that underneath your feelings is who you are, superstar. And superstar with the power, this is your hour to shine. I think I'm going to have to get off the mic because it's
that
time.
That was beautiful. No, that was like, it had such a backbone to it, you know, really strong. You wrote that from your heart and soul, and we could tell. At least I could.
Yeah.
I have to hear it without reading along with you. It's hard to make a full critique, but I found several parts in that I just loved. The mirror part,
mm-hmm.
That was really, really cool. You should write these down and you know, submit them so we can read along with you and get a little bit more out of it. We submit our poems and then the poets can read along and that was really cool. Don't think that your writing is not cool, because you really said some powerful stuff there. I liked it a lot.
Well, I'm glad you liked that, because I was listening too, and I enjoyed it myself.
AP, what did you think?
It was interesting, because it was like a poetry slam that developed sort of on the spot, and I think to me the great thing about it was that it was rhyming, and because you were thinking through it as you were going, you really had some interesting themes, and I liked Linda liked the mirror a lot. I think it was really
right on. Miss J, what did you think, Miss J?
I like the way it was read, because it wasn't read. I mean, you spoke it like a conversation, and that put so much more emotion into it than just reading it. And I also like the way you said that you were the mirror that people could see themselves in. That was very powerful picture for me.
Beautiful.
I liked it a lot.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Right,
I love to hear that. That's a positive. Positive. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We got somebody else. We have someone else, too, that we haven't said anything yet. Is there someone else?
Yes, yeah, sweet.
It has.
Sweet pea.
Yes, mother. I like the slam poetry part of it, and I like the concept of we walk through the mirror and we have our self-confidence through love, as we also doubt ourselves through love, and we just have to keep trying, because without the walk, without the shame, without the guilt, and, of course, without the love, our paths are never complete. So it doesn't really matter how long we stare into the mirror. We just have to keep looking, going, growing, and following that path. So I thought your piece was definitely
cool,
something indulging and something to learn from. And I like the way you rhymed. Your speech pattern was right on. As far as your timing and all of that, you did very well.
Well, thank you. I'm trying. I tried to put two words together to make a sentence, and someone said that I don't do a very good job of that. So I was like, I don't believe that. But
someone may have been lying.
Well, you know.
I think you did a great job.
You know, someone always has an opinion.
I love doing what I do. You know, I love doing what I do. So maybe they don't understand that. And sometimes when, you know, let me just say this. Love inside of my heart, well, I've had many assaults placed upon the existence of the love inside of my heart. But I have to say, each time there's an assault placed upon the existence of that love, it always reminds me, it always reminds me of one thing first and foremost, and that is that the love is genuine, true love. And at that moment, at that very moment, I have a smile on my face, you know, so I can continue doing what I was doing in love in spite of what someone may have been saying or doing that would come against that. I've learned over the years to examine my feelings, like I said earlier in my other piece. I hope that people do the same thing, you know, because people are going to say things and do things that are going to come against that love, and you have to prepare yourself for people like that, because those people are the most hungry people for what you have, and you have an inventory of love because you lived in this world at one time, and that was just you, but now there's something different about you that allows you some liberty to live a life that you've never had before. So I just said, superstar, you have the power. This is your hour.
Right on. Well said. Well said. Yeah, don't ever let anybody talk you down about your poetry. It was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, great. Stick around.
Yeah.
This
Thank
next
you.
Poet
I'll
will knock your socks off. Miss J, are you ready?
I am ready. It's not going to be as wonderful, but whatever. This is a celebration of International Women's Day, which is on March 8th, which is perfect timing for today, celebrating empowering women. And my poem is called A Salute to Women Inventors. Her daughter played with paper dolls that didn't hold up well until her mom, Ruth Handler, founded toy giant Mattel. She invented Barbie dolls, and girls still think they're swell. Josie Cochran fondly wished to never wash another dish. The dishwasher was her creation in 1886. When you stop to think about one, nary a kitchen is without one. She didn't like boiled coffee, and neither did her friends. It was always full of grounds and bitter to the end. She invented coffee filters to smooth out every blend. Her coffee filters bear her name, Melita Benz. Eldorado Jones was bored with kitchen kettles, so she bought herself a factory that fabricated metal. Hiring only women over 40 was her way of giving women job skills and work with equal pay. She invented airplane mufflers to quiet neighborhoods. Miss Jones created friendly skies before commercials would. Shirley was the first black woman to earn her own degree, a PhD from MIT, inventing things, you see. Miss Jackson gave us fiber optics and phone caller ID. So when we know who's calling, thanks, Shirley, naturally. Torpedo guidance systems could easily be deferred. She designed a method so they couldn't be deterred. Her system gave us Wi-Fi, GPS, and Bluetooth, too. Hedy Lamarr, the actress, gave the world more than we knew. Her house in Massachusetts had enormous heating costs, so Maria Telkis found a way to cut her loss. She created from the ground up a money-saving feat. She designed and built the very first system of solar heat. Her invention saved hundreds on ships like the Titanic. Maria Beasley's life rafts have averted many panics. They fold up flat. They self-inflate, resist the ice and cold. She met all the criteria, and billions have been sold. If you've ever flown in winter, Miss Kathy Blodgett brings a fast and easy method to de-ice airplane wings, and the military thanks her for her second task. She was the inventor of the life-saving gas mask. Well, You get the idea now. So stand up, girls, and take a bow. Man-made includes woman-made. Three cheers to you and Hal. End of poem.
Hoo-hoo! That was awesome, Jay.
Thank you.
You choose just the right facts to use, and I love that you put it in rhyme. You give women a great service, and it made me feel proud to be a feminine sort. Bravo to all women, and thank you, Jay, for bringing these fabulous gals to our attention. My favorite part was verse 5, which is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, yeah, Shirley was the first black woman to earn her own degree, a PhD from MIT, inventing things you see. Miss Jackson gave us fiber optics and phone caller ID. So when you know who's calling, thank Shirley naturally. Because I always like to know who's calling. So thank you, Shirley Jackson. The poem was fact-filled and fun to read. It was inventive as well. Thank you, Jay Showalter. Great job.
Thank you.
What did you think?
Oh, it was fantastic. There's just so much fantastic and rich information in the poem, and it is, I think, it, particularly on International Women's Day, it's a great time to go and think about the contribution of women across the board. And I'm very, very glad, to say that Australia is leading the way with women and gender balance on Australian boards. And as at the 30th of June last year, on all Australian government boards, women held just over 50% of those positions, which is only fair and reasonable, but it is a long way away from where most of the rest of the world is, and it's something to be quite proud of here in the
Right on. Craig, did you want to comment?
Yeah, I just, I was listening, and I was, like you said, I was blown away. I mean, my mind, when I'm listening, I was going through, I was just like, oh my, and you're not kidding me. When that's amazing what you were reading there. You put that together?
Thank you.
You wrote that, right? You wrote that with your mind and everything, and your hand and the ink pen and everything?
Yep.
Oh my God. Look at, let me say something real
quick. I can't talk like you do, just freely. I have to write it down. I'd get all disorganized.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm a professional writer, though. You know what I mean? I have 17 years in prison. Okay, 17 years, and when I was behind those gray walls of the prison, I used to write a lot. I used to read and write, and that's how I enlightened myself. You understand? So, but
that was your salvation. Yeah.
For me today, it's speaking. Okay, so speaking the truth. And doing it in love with the ability to have other people reflecting what I'm projecting, while there's these other people in which you wouldn't believe me, but there's other people who come against that because they have, it's like they stumble on sometimes I use the vulgar to speak. Okay. I want to be honest with you. But while I'm speaking in the vulgar, I'm, I've been thinking with the wise, so let's put it that way. And my intelligence allows me the ability to use those words in a way that, the way that I choose, you know what I mean? And I don't want people interrupting me while I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, but obviously there's going to be interruptions, and I get irritated, like some women would know what I'm talking about irritating, because, you know, guys don't know, they don't have that kind of thing going on, but women do, and they're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. You don't have to say it no more. Thank you. But listen, but you made me think about two things. Like, you made me think about the black women in the plantations way back then, and the kind of things they had to use to cook food, you know, their food, and prepare their food. Well, these women were geniuses, if you will. They took okra and put okra in a pot of beans, just a regular pot of beans, and the okra, that clear stuff in there, would melt into the beans and accentuate the bean flavor so that when they served it, people were getting like, they're like, wow, man, this is really good beans. You know what
wow.
I mean? But the girls were hooking it up. Now today, these recipes that these women had back then are just like, you know, they're paying big money for it. But listen, and then the other thing I thought about was this, song by the Oak Ridge Boys. It was a Mother's Day song, and I love this Mother's
right
Day
on.
Song. Can I just say it real quick?
Sure.
Can I just say it out loud? Okay. It goes like this. It goes, up here on the mountain, it gets crazy sometimes. So crazy, I don't know what to do. But when I had it up to here, with all of their lies, I can count on you to tell me the truth, because no matter how high I get, I'll always look up to you. You'll always be number one, and I'll settle for number two. And, you know, happy Mother's Day.
That is neat.
Right on.
Well, Linda, I called the operating engineers, Local 501, this morning, and they have 25 female hospital engineers in the trade now in San Diego.
Wow.
And I was the first one in Southern California to be in the AFL-CIO as an operating engineer in the union.
That's
so I
right.
called them and
you
I wished them a happy, happy International Women's Day. So, you know, we all do our
right
part.
Right on. Yeah. That's cool. Sweet,
fun.
Did you want to comment?
First off, I love the celebration of women. Oddly enough, on my vacation, which I just am getting back from, I was able to sit on the plane next to the female inventor of sidewalk chalk. And I had the best conversation with her. She also invented the gel that is in the keyboards. And she did that out of necessity because back when she invented sidewalk chalk, she had so many orders from like Walmart and Kmart and all of that. They didn't have the nice keyboards that we have now with all the gel and everything. And her wrists would get so sore that she put that together to help her associates because she had to hire like banquets of female typists and their wrists would get so sore from literally typing out invoices because they weren't like the massive computer programming we had back in the day. And it was one of the greatest conversations I've had. And, you know, to network with this woman, it's been a blessing. But just to listen to her story and all of that and the troubles that she went through and everything about, you know, the guy that wouldn't back her because she looked, if she had that much beauty, she was basically, what did he say? She had cookbook dreams, so she was told to go home. And she got to meet him face to face after she sold sidewalk chalk to one of the top toy makers. And she was great. I had such a beautiful time with her. And then I also learned of this beautiful architect. Basically, her name was Mary Coulter. And she's the architect that put most of the buildings around the Grand Canyon in the early 1900s. And just sometimes when you really look at what's going on with the women in our history, what we are all taken aback and going, wait, what do you mean that the Grand Canyon buildings were built by a female? Why is that not in every history book? Why do I not know that at my age that
mm-hmm.
I studied
right.
Grand Canyon and all of that?
Absolutely.
How do I not know that hotel was built by a female? You know, and now we get to shout it and we get to go out. Why is there a special month and not just a simple education about what is going on in this world?
Why is it
I
not a national
that.
Holiday?
Yeah, you know, just
yeah.
why is it just not basic education that, you know, this is the way the world was ran? I sometimes, you know, I just make it so. And so I really appreciate everything you brought, and now I just have more to absorb. And I really, it gets me excited to learn more about what is the norm versus what was taught. So
right.
It's exciting.
Yeah, my mom used to tell me I can do anything for 15 minutes. So
I like
that kept me going.
My mom used to tell me the same thing.
Did she? Oh, they must have talked.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I got mine up next. And
all
then
right.
We got Quicken, who is another new poet. So let me go ahead and get mine out of the way real quick. This is called Little Monsters. I wrote this for my children. When darkness falls and you're all tucked in your cozy little bed, I hope you will remember just exactly what I've said. There's monsters in your closet. There's beasts behind your door. And if you look underneath your bed, I'm sure you'll find some more. Be careful of the shadow people. They're fiercer than the rest. And somewhere in your room, I know, is a shadow people nest. Now look up in the corners of the ceiling in your room. That's where you see the spiders being dazzled by the moon. Just outside your window creeps a horrid kind of ghost. You'd better keep aware because he's scarier than most. He likes to pinch and poke you and stick things in your ears, then find out things that scare you, then terrorize your fears. And just about the time you think that nothing could get worse, the boogeyman shows up and on you puts a curse. The boogeyman is very old, how old nobody knows. He's sneaky and he's vicious and he smells like dirty toes. Be careful if you meet him. He's very, very rude and has a really very bad and nasty attitude. Just don't let the boogeyman catch you unaware. He'll drag you from your bedroom and take you to his lair. But that's enough about the boogeyman. We have other things to do, like cleaning out the monsters hiding out in your bedroom. The most important thing you'll need is courage and a lot. You'll also need the strength for you to give it all you've got. The last thing you'll be needing is a very pointy stick and a spell that makes the monsters really very, very sick. What you do is point your stick and jab it at their eyes and say these words I tell you. I think they're going to die. Now listen well to what I say. You'll have to say it right. One missed word can cause you harm and fill your heart with fright. Monstrum inferni succulum is what you need to say. Then redire labare, that'll send them on their way. That's all there is to cleanse your room. I hope you do it right. One mistake will bring them back another scary night. I hope you heed my warnings and remember what I've said. I'd hate to come back in 3 days and find out that you're dead. In poem.
Ay, ay, ay. Jeez.
They love
fairy tales are scary tales.
AP.
Well, thank you. I love the thought of monsters wandering around, and one of my favorite ever movies is Monsters, Inc., which basically uses the power of children's laughter, the power of city, and has that great Doors scene, which is one of my favorites of all films. So I love monsters, and you've captured them very well here.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Miss J.
I would not feel safe in my room after you came in and told me that story. I mean, there wasn't a place left that there wasn't something hiding waiting to get me.
That's right.
That was wonderful. You got it covered from a children's perspective, and I pity your children if you're not in a good mood. Heaven help them.
No, they loved it. They were old enough. I didn't read it to them when they were young and impressionable. I waited until they were old enough to really get
old and impressionable.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Right
on. Sweet.
You know you are the master, and this goes straight into the grandson file. This is giggles waiting to happen, a memory to be made. We always have so much fun with your poems when they're like this. I just adore your writing poems. I cannot express to you what this
wow.
means to me. You know, how I feel. And this is just another one. And as I put on the board, let me bow to the master. You're such a talented one. And you just really do.
Thank
the
you
storyteller, so the humor, the everything about it. Your creativity is off the chart when you work these kind of around, rhymes. And I cannot wait to see your children's book. This absolutely has to be done.
Thank you, sweetie.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
Craig, what did you think? Did we lose Craig?
I just got back. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just got back. I had something come up, so I didn't get to hear it.
Did you hear the poem about the monsters?
No, because something happened outside, and I had to put it on mute.
Oh,
outside.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got back. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries. No worries.
I have a poem about
a
babysitter being frightened, which is a true story. It happened to me.
Oh, that's right.
And,
we almost played that one tonight.
Almost.
God, we got a lot. Oh, Quicken. I put Quicken up.
Yes.
Oh, Hatter. Did Hatter come back?
No, he's not going to make it back. He's going to need somebody to read his stuff.
Because he's got a note up on the board.
Yeah,
okay,
We do have a SoundCloud.
Oh, he's got a SoundCloud? Okay.
Cool. No. SoundCloud.
Quicken has a SoundCloud. I apologize.
Okay. Then. Oh. Let me get down the hall here. Running.
Past the marble statue of Venus.
Yes. Past the boss's office. Oh, that one
there you
don't need.
I thought you were the boss.
Oh, come on. Actually, I'm not.
Well, you'd never know it.
Do I put on a good front?
You're a natural born leader because you inspire people.
Oh.
You tell them they're wonderful,
and
who's going
to
argue with that?
Right. Okay, so we'll
I mean, if I tell
Hatter,
you're the best poet I've ever heard, are you going to try to prove me wrong? No.
No.
We long to live up to your expectations.
Hatter. I don't have a Hatter on the board here.
Hold on. You put one on light, Linda. Just one sec. I've got one. I probably just need you to refresh, but I'll put it on the board for you.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to?
AP, you're going to read Hatter.
Yeah, let's do Hatter and then Quicken.
Let's. Hi, Quicken, you're there. Okay, we can see her. I'll get Hatter's and then we'll go back to Quicken and get her SoundCloud. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that sounds perfect.
Right. Here we go. Okay, let's do this. This is Maybe I Should Have Mentioned by Jay Hatter, and it goes a bit like this. Maybe I should have mentioned the world I did not save. I just happened to be there digging my one and only grave. Maybe I should have been clearer about what I do. The last thing I wanted was to offend you too. Did you hear I stopped the warming? Our planet is safe as can be. I cut down all the forest, didn't leave one single tree. Was it you that I told how I can't grow old and find my old friend of mine? Maybe it's the stage where I turn the page and find the grand design. Maybe I should have carried that secret that you told me. You can trust me with anything, your secrets are safe with me. Did you know I was a poet, a wordsmith by trade? I write in riddles so you might find the words I cannot say in poems.
Oh.
Wow. Hatter, you have done it once again. This is so deep, you know. Maybe I should have mentioned the world I did not save. I just happened to be there digging one more and only grave, my one and only grave. That to me is strikingly poignant. And this every verse in this has a deep meaning. Did you hear I stopped the warming? Our planet is safe as can be. So cut down all the forests. Don't leave one single tree. I mean, that's exactly what's going on. You know, people saying that things are good, things are safe, but they're still doing the same behavior that is creating the problem in the first place. So I find this poem to be honest and realistic. And let me get him some more comments. Sweet.
Yeah, you know, J. Hatter is a dichotomy wrapped in a riddle marketed in bubblegum wrappers. He just has so much to say. And he does. Did you know I was a poet, a wordsmith by trade? I write in riddles so you might find the words I cannot say. I mean, I stop the warming, but by the way, I cut down all the trees. You know, you have to stop and think about that metaphor. I did this for you. I didn't mean to offend you. I made this planet safe, but you can't live on it. I love the way he yings and yangs. And, you know, he uses Hatter. And Hatter is Wonderland. Wonderland has no time. Was it you I told how I can't grow old? And time is an old friend of mine. So there are so many justifications in here. And you just can't really figure out. You have to know the riddle. You have to know the rhyme. You have to know what you want or what he wants you to think. And I don't think you'll ever figure that out with the words he cannot say. I just love
right.
this man to death.
Right. Right. Excellent comment, sweet. AP.
Yeah, well, Hatter has a style and rhyme all of his own, and I know it very well, and this fits into the great catalogue of Hatter rhyme. But the lovely thing, as Sweet said, was that it also extends that sense of questioning what the hell's going on around us, and he does a wonderful job of doing that here too.
Right on. Right on. Craig.
Yes. I'm here.
I do
want to say something. I don't know how to respond to stuff like you all respond, but I'm just going to say what I'm going to say though. I'm going to say this, that I just forgot what I was going to say. Oh no. I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay.
Yeah. It was beautiful too. The way that you speak, you know, I remember the time that I walked through the door into the place where time is no more. And I've been living here since 1999. That's why I know how to make this rhyme.
Right. Right. Well, I know Wayne here says, wonderful poem. Did you hear I stopped the mourning of our planet? It is safe as can be. You are the man. Maybe exaggerate a little bit. Was it you that I told how I can't grow old and the time is an old friend of mine? Whoever it was, I was lying. Hatter, I know you are a poet. I don't know what that is. Something poet at that.
It's a typo.
Great
it's
job.
A fine poet at that.
Oh, a fine poet at that. There you go. And Sky says, I feel the last stanza on the very personal level. Sometimes it is easier to write them down than to articulate them. Well done. And that is true. It is easier to write them down than articulate them. So that's cool.
Now, Linda,
okay.
Did we hear from Miss J?
Yeah.
I like the fact that he writes in riddles. Because he doesn't nail things down. And so it applies to more people. Because you can take it and make it very personal. It all reminds us of something different, but they all apply. Because he dances here and there. And he gives you a blank slate, and then he steps back and lets you think. And then he gives you another thing, and he steps back, and he lets you think. It's like a dance, and it's wonderful because it just opens your mind up. And plus, it's entertaining even to listen to. I mean, it's beautifully written. I really like that about
right
it.
On.
Now, Linda, a couple of things. We've had sweet drop, but we do have a new caller, 270.
Hello,
270.
It'll be me. It'll be Wayne.
Mr. Wayne's in the house.
My computer.
Hi, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing? That's a great poem. That's a good poem that Jay
Hatter
had
there.
I'm
doing well, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. That's a good poem Jay Hatter had. I enjoyed it.
Terrific.
Oh,
I certainly won't argue with that.
Oh. We have to do Gerald Green's poem next. You want to grab that, AP?
We can go. I was thinking you might be because she was still. But
oh,
Quicken,
that's right, Quickens. That's right, and then Gerald.
Yeah.
And I think,
okay,
did Quickens
well,
get off the board?
Quickens was on the board, cups for two, and we have a sound cloud as well. So,
that's right.
Did you want
we
me to
do.
Press the dome? Button, or did you want to do that?
I got the SoundCloud. If you got it on the board,
I've got it on the board, and there's a SoundCloud. So where
okay,
you
here we go.
By Quicken. Every day began with a cherished ritual. My wife and I moving through the gentle rhythm of shared routines, though nothing would ever change. Our mornings would start with a quiet breakfast. Her smile, as bright as the dawn, illuminating our quaint kitchen. The cups would clink as she prepared her coffee, her laughter light and carefree filling the air. Our afternoons were spent wandering through the garden she adored, her fingers lightly caressing the blooms as though bestowing a blessing upon them.
Isn't that pretty?
I would comment on how the roses appeared more vibrant than ever. She would nod, her eyes light with unspoken words. Despite the relentless march of the world around us, it seemed we had found a way to slow time, basking in the simplicity of our love. Evening drew us closer, nestled within the cozy embrace of our bedroom. She would sit in her favorite computer chair, the soft clicking of her keys a comforting backdrop to my attempts at writing poetry. She shared glances and smiles. Silent language honed over a decade woven into the very fabric of our being. Yet,
I love you.
Tonight
I
as
love
I prepared
you.
Two cups of coffee, silence became oppressive, heavy with questions I had not thought to ask. Turning to share a joke, I discovered her chair was empty, devoid not only of her presence, but any indication she had ever been here.
It's okay.
My wife, my companion of many years, had not been by my side. Memories once vivid and warm revealed themselves as a specter of a life to which I had desperately clung. Her laughter, her touch, our shared looks, mere figments of a heart too stubborn to accept loss. In that moment, the world seemed to shift, reality reshaping into a landscape unrecognizable to me. She had passed, leaving me to navigate a world we no longer shared, except within the confines of my mind. The shock of her absence, the realization that I had been spending my days with a ghost, her ghost, it left me shattered. I was adrift, severed from the anchor of our love. Tears flowed, not only for her passing, but for her profound beauty and tragedy of our separation. A bond so strong that even death struggled to sever it. A realization as piercing as it was heartbreaking, leaving me to face the remainder of my days, bereft of her touch.
Wow. This is just an amazing piece of art. How you pulled up two emotions from my heart to feel the beauty in your love for her. The imagery is truly soft and loving, an art piece of beauty painted by your love for her. How sad this becomes in the end. Truly amazing how you switched my emotions from joy to sadness in a moment. Awesome piece, Quicken, just very beautiful. Thank you for your sharing with us. The imagery in this was just so real, emotionally drawing. And I thank you for sharing with us. And I think you're going places. This was just amazing. Sweet.
I think Sweet we go? Might have had Sweet drop. Yeah, Sweet has dropped. Yes.
AP.
Yes. Well, firstly, my apologies because Quicken is a new gentleman in our group, or not a female in our group, but
yeah,
wasn't it brilliantly produced? I love the reading of it and the refrains. I love the music in the background. And just a really professional, meaningful piece of writing. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, really pretty. Jay?
It was like a production number. The music kept us traveling along, even though it was getting sad. And I think it kind of softened that a little bit so that we could hear what he was saying, but not, you know, not be back up because it felt so bad. It was so touching and so deep. And why is it we only love strongly like that when people are gone and we don't realize we have them when we have them? That always bothers me.
Right.
So many poems are written about that, but this was just, it was beautifully said. The wording was gorgeous. I could see her hand touching the flowers, walking through the garden. Picturesque.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the music made right it on. Just perfect.
Great. Yeah, really pretty piece, man. I don't know what to say. It's just gorgeous. Okay. Gerald.
Yes. We. I think you asked for Gerald's poem to come up next. Linda?
I think there's a SoundCloud.
I think, yes, there is, so I can play that if you like.
I got the SoundCloud if you got the...
Yeah. It's on the board. So do you want to put it in your hands with the SoundCloud, Linda?
Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah,
American
we're ready. Baseball, written and read by Gerald Green. The game of baseball stands alone in the field of sports with its unique traditions and history. Spectators thrill at the contest between pitcher and batter, watching two men compete with speed and curve, cheering for the one they support. Statistics are everywhere with RBIs, ERAs, etc., for those who enjoy the numbers, who feel included when able to recite from memory the whos and whats. Patrons follow scores with the intensity of a newlywed, thrilled at the prospect of what might be. The viewing public rejoice when their team scores another victory and moves up in the ranking, unaware of the great deception occurring before their eyes. While you, even you, follow scores and stats, there is another, yes, another game afoot. The real game, the one that counts, involves the right to and execution of spitting onto the field of play. Behind the scenes are statisticians recording the number of times each player spits. There are earned and unearned spits that affect the record, and the rules are far too complicated for me to describe at this time. You might never have wondered why the entire playing surface of each ballpark gets replaced every 4 years. It's a well-kept secret that the foul smell from all that mucus is shoveled up and taken to garden centers to be sold as premium compost. Perhaps your garden is prospering today from all that spit. One of the best-kept secrets in all of sports is the judging of spitting that allows the player to perform a rite that must be earned. When a coach gives the signal indicating approval from the judges, the best players are allowed to grab their crotch. This action is the ultimate purpose of the game, conducted in front of women and children who watch unaware, who remain focused on hits, steals, catches, and scores. But the apex of celebration, the one each player dreams about, happens only when a player is authorized to spit immediately before and after the crotch touch. This is American baseball.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
That, I got such a laugh out of that when I was critiquing it. It was, like, fantastic. I love baseball, but never knew about the statistics. Wow. I'll always look at the game a little different from now on. You must have dug deep to learn of these hilarious and interesting performance rights. My favorite part was verse 10. Let me see. Verse 10. Oh, where'd it go? It's down here. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, you might never have wondered why the entire playing surface of each ballpark gets replaced every 4 years. It's a well-kept score that secret that the foul smell from the mucus is shoveled up and taken to garden centers to be sold as premium compost. Perhaps your garden is prospering today from all this spit. I think that's precious, really precious. And amazing fact. I'm intrigued. Thank you, Gerald, for these fantastic facts about our beloved game of baseball. Maybe next time you'll do one on football. Oh, boy. Okay. Jay.
I was waiting for him to say that the dome, the Astrodome, was built so that the wind would not affect the spitting, because if you spit into the wind, you're going to get it right back. But
yeah,
the part
really
about changing the lawn was hysterical. That snuck up on us, darn it. I didn't expect it to be humorous, and it was a scream.
Yeah, right on. AP.
Did we want to get Craig to talk about it first, Linda?
What's that? Is Craig still here?
Did we get Craig to talk about it?
I thought he was.
Yeah, I believe so.
I thought he left. Craig?
Craig, he still works.
I'm here. He might have gone away from the phone.
Oh, there he is. Are you there?
There's Wayne. It's me.
Wayne's here.
Oh,
Wayne, go ahead. What did you
Wayne's
think?
Wayne's here. There you go. Sorry.
Yes, I thought it's another excellent point by Gerald. He's great with his little poems. He got track a little bit on his humor this time with his spitting, and I thought that was pretty good touch to the poem. I once went out for the American Spitting Team, and I got choked when I grabbed my crotch and had to quit. But maybe next time I'll make the team. It's a wonderful poem, funny, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. He did a good job with this.
Right on. Did you want to go, AP?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we all thought that was going down the path of being a very official sort of historical type of poem, and then he changed it up, and it was a great poem. Gerald's a great writer, and just under his sort of breath and under his sort of fingers, very, very funny poem, really brilliantly done.
He ambushed us.
Yeah, he writes really well, Gerald. He's amazing. But this one caught me off guard, too. I mean, it's just hilarious. So I guess we have Wayne up next.
I think that's right, Linda. We've got Wayne now on the board. And, we're in your hands because he's got a sound card for us.
Yes, this is a picture prompt poem, so you need the picture and see what the poem's about. It's a picture prompt poem.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay.
You got it, Linda?
Yeah, where's SoundCloud?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's going.
This is called Then There Were Three Peaks by Wayne Jennett. In a time long, long ago, there was a vast land. In this vast land is where the peaks would stand. As far as the eagle could fly, they're tall peaks. All peaks knew this land. It's where the lost peak seeks. The weather in the vast land was warm and dry. Then one day the weather changed. No peak knew why. The rain had spoken to the wind. Neither were peaks friends. They invaded without warning. Peaks were sure it would end. The wind laughed at the cracking peaks as the rain crashed down. For centuries the violence continued, always a tremendous sound. After 100,000 years, the vast land had lost over half its peaks. The outer circle had been crushed. Most of the rain peaks had leaks. Still the rain and wind kept up the attack. The peaks would crack and fall, washed in the track. In only 80,000 years, the vast land become bare. The peak population perished, except for three still there. As they watched their best friend wash away, the wind could no longer blow. The rain become a spray. It was the sun had returned to shine. The sun told the three peaks. Everything was fine. One peak looked at the other peak, said, "Well, what do we do now?" Peak turned. While feeling weak, said, "We should feel fortunate somehow." That is how the three peaks ended up out in the middle of nowhere, hanging out, being freaks, and living life without a care. Ian?
Wow. That was way cool. I really like that. I wish that the volume would have been down a little bit, but yeah. Are those in Utah or Arizona?
I think it's Arizona, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Arizona too. Yeah. Very pretty. And the way you spoke of them is very regal, and the way you talked about the birds and the rain and the wind kept up the attack. The peaks would crack and fall, wash down tracks. Yeah. Very nicely written, Wayne, and your storyline was really great, and the imagery in this was just so bold and realistic that you spoke of really great things. You gave life to the peaks and death too, which is, you know, kind of sad, but you gave them both life and death, but really well written. AP, what did you think?
Oh, I really like how you produced it. Wow, I like the hurdy-gurdy and the sort of that sort of sense of building tension and stress, like nails going down the chalkboard. It's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how it takes so many thousands and thousands of years for those peaks to form, and then they can be destroyed with just a rainstorm, you know, thunder and lightning hitting them. But Jay, what did you think?
I had a hard time hearing it. I'm sorry, because if the music was loud and then there was feedback from the speaking.
Yeah.
Is it on the site? Can I read it on the site? Because I don't have a visual of it, and I'd sure like to see it.
Yeah, it should be on the board.
Okay.
It is.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to miss it. Nature does two things. She destroys things, but there's value in the destruction. When there's a forest fire, the ash fertilizes the forest. So her methods seem odd to us, but there's a reason for all of them.
Right.
So, Linda, we've got to the end of 2 hours, but there are still six poems on the board. But
okay, well, let me.
We've had 4 hours today, so
let me.
Not a long way. Yeah.
Let me say my thank yous to AP. Thank you, AP. Hatter, Titus, Jenny, Dave, Heavenly Angels, Sweet Pea, Rabia, Craig, Jay, Quicken, Gerald, Wayne. Thank you all. If you didn't get read tonight, you'd be read tomorrow night on AP's show. Or next week online, whichever. So thank you for attending. I love my new people, Craig, Quicken. Thank you for joining us. Come back again next week. And, have
Miss
some fun.
Miss Jay?
Bring a joke. We'll
Blake.
Tell some more jokes. Yeah.
Sorry.
And what time's
thank
your
you
show, AP?
Standard every day, 10 o'clock Eastern, Liquid Damage.
Okay.
So always then. And,
10 o'clock Eastern
we'll
tomorrow.
There.
All righty. That'll do it for tonight. Jay, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for that wonderful, wonderful poem. I just love hearing fact poems, and you write
yeah,
them
I do
so
too.
Well.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, right
well, there's
on.
No escaping, Linda. We know where to find you.
Right on. Yeah, don't lose me. You are what makes my show happen. And without you, I wouldn't have a show. So
thank
come
you for
on
hosting.
Back. Well, thank you. You're welcome. I enjoy it. Something I get real pleasure out of. And
well, it's
yeah.
real important. You're supporting poetry like International Women's Day supports women. And you're a woman
right
poet.
That,
what could be more perfect?
That's nice to hear. Yeah.
Yes.
Right on. Right on. All right. Well, let me see. Let me get back to the studio. Running to the studio. Here I am. I want to thank you all and bid you adieu and farewell and good night.
Good night, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Good night, sweetheart. Good night, AP, and thank you for your help, as usual.